today St Barnabas Church has become a kind of art gallery. And around us are all sorts of wonderful creations from church members of all different ages. We're hoping to put up footage of the artwork on the church website, so to those who are listening in today, you should be able to see the artwork properly in due course. But I think there are some fantastic pieces. I love the dolphin on the front pillar. And I have to say, I think these wonderful knitted vegetables are a tremendous creation. And then there is the humongous chicken, which is eyeing us up. Dare I say, in a slightly disturbing fashion from the north wall of the church. As we celebrate harvest today, we celebrate harvest with a wonderful harvest psalm, Psalm 104. I'm hoping, Barbara, we might be able to have a slide up. It's that the computer is being a little bit suffering indigestion at the moment, so some slides may or may not appear. You may have been puzzled trying to work out how whatever appears above my head connects with what is coming out of my mouth. But today we celebrate harvest with the wonderful Psalm 104. Psalms are the worship psalms, the hymn book of the Bible. And I want to say we can't have our church Bibles in church right now because of the transmission risk they would represent. But if you can bring your own Bible to church, that would be a great help, and I recommend that. And indeed, if you've got a Bible on your phone, then I'd encourage you to flick through to find Psalm 104 on it. And I'm going to say four things. The first thing is to say that Psalm 104 tells us that God the Creator is splendid and worthy of our praise. Psalm 104 is fascinating, partly because it has some similarities with an Egyptian text of the same age, the Egyptian hymn to the sun. But it is also totally different in its direction, because it praises not the sun, but the one who made the sun. Paganism sees the gods within nature. Judaism and Christianity see God as outside of nature, and nature is therefore entirely dependent on the God who is outside of it. You might note in passing too that psalm which David read for us parallels loosely the structure of the Genesis 1, the 7 days of creation. And if you read through Psalm 104, you'll be able to see at various points it's picking up on Genesis 1. Verse 2 of Psalm 104 says this: "The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. God is both distinct from creation, yet wrapped up in it. It is his tent, the waters his floor, the clouds his chariot, winds his messengers, flames his servants. The world is something God delights in. It is charged with his energy, it's alive with his presence." The clothes that a person, you or I, wear tell us something about that person. What we see in this psalm is that God wears the universe. God wears the universe. That is telling us something about God. He loves his creation and he loves to create. That takes us to the matter of science. Science doesn't explain God away, as is sometimes suggested. Rather, it describes how he created the world. And science can live perfectly happily alongside scripture, which answers a different question, the different questions of who and why, who stands behind all of nature, and why did he create it? Next Sunday night, and if we can, That's why we'll cover. Next Sunday night at 6:30, we're going to be joined by a guest speaker, Anthony Smith, who's both a church leader and an astrophysicist. And we'll talk about how science and faith complement, not conflict, with each other. And I'd recommend that to you. One of the things, as we think about lockdown, perhaps when we've been out taking exercise, perhaps if you've been confined to home, but looking out your window at a nearby tree, bird, is that I think as we had to slow down in lockdown, we have been reminded of the extraordinariness of the world that God has given us. You know, our endless everyday glimpses of the splendour of the God who made us and our world. So firstly, God is splendid and worthy of our praise. Secondly, God feeds all creation. Verses 10 to 18 are some of my favourite verses in Scripture. They speak of the provision within nature of food across all species. And the writer of Psalm 104 is highly specific. He talks of wild donkeys and storks and goats and something called the hyrax. I was going to put up a picture of a hyrax, which is kind of somewhere between a rabbit and a badger and lives in the Middle East. And even the hyrax, this very obscure creature, matters to God. And then in verse 15 is reference to wine, oil and bread as gifts from God to us. Now the thing that is striking here is that these are things that humans make. They are not just found naturally. The verse is saying then that the human skill that turns, say, grain into bread or grapes into wine is a gift of God too. And that will include the skill that created the food some of us may have brought for food bank today, or the skill that's created the art that's on display around the church. Our food and our skills do not come ultimately from us, or from Tesco, or from Co-op. They come from God. And so much we certainly ought to be grateful when someone delivers food to us, or when there's food on the shelves for us to pick up from the supermarket. Grateful for the farmers and the shop workers, our gratitude shouldn't stop there. Food is the goodness of God made edible. And when we see famine in our world, this is not because there is not enough food in our world. Indeed, world food supplies have risen greatly in recent decades. It is because the food does not always get to where it needs to go. Third point, God renews the earth by his Spirit. Verse 30 says of God, when you send your Spirit, they, that is all creatures, are created, and you renew the face of the earth. The world is impressive, but it depends on God the Holy Spirit the whole time to exist. All we have is gift. Thank you, Barbara. I wonder if we can go on from another slide. I don't know if we're going to get to that. But I've got another slide up, which is a slide of Blast Beach, which is to be found a little bit north of here in County Durham on the coast, near Seaham. It was where coal spoil was tipped from the mines for years. It created, as you can imagine, an enormous mess on the beach. But Glass Beach, as it is now, has returned to life. It's gradually been cleaned up over the years. What humanity destroys can be repaired. When God sends his Spirit, it renews the face of the earth. And most profoundly, God sends us Jesus by his Spirit to give us meaning in our lives, give us forgiveness from our failings, and hope even in the face of human mortality. I don't know how you are finding lockdown. I can confess that for myself it has quite often found me out. I am less patient, less caring, less resilient than I had thought I was, or indeed need to be. But God is gracious. He is the great renewer. And we can be renewed, each one of us, today. Each one of us as we listen to this service at home. And he can renew this church, and he can renew the Tees Valley. As a church, we've engaged in a process called Immeasurably More over the last few months, in which we've been seeking what we believe God is calling us to in the next 3 years. And the result of that is what's called a mission action plan, a MAP. Now, there's the last speech. On your seats, you should have with you a postcard and a bit of A4. The bit of A4 is the mission action plan. The postcard is a kind of boiled down version of that. Please do take these away. They're not meant to be staying in church. And I want to say a big thank you to everyone who's participated in the Immeasurably More process in very far from ideal circumstances. Now, today is not a moment for detailed discussion of this document. There will be an opportunity for that on Zoom in a couple of weeks. But can I say where this document came from? It's been produced and approved by the Church Council over recent weeks, but based on all the conversations and prayer and input we've been gathering together as a whole church in recent months. And what I want to do is flag two particular things. You can see on this postcard, which is on your seats as you came in, here is the heart of the document, four values and five priorities. Four values from St. Barnabas Church. They're up in the computer and I are in sync at long last. Four values. St. Barnabas is Bible-based, Christ-centered, transformational, which means through the Holy Spirit we see transformation, real change, both in ourselves and in our society. And then fourthly, being servant-hearted. And those are overall values. You can't in one sense pin them down to a single action, but they're like DNA. They ought to be visible in everything we do. And then out of that are five priorities. And another slide may well come up in due course. The five priorities being worship, people under the age of 25, compassion, sharing the good news of Jesus, and nurturing the church family. That is the building up of members of this congregation. And those five priorities act as kind of sandwich. Numbers 1 and 5, that's worship and nurturing the congregation, are crucial to anything else happening. We are here to give glory to God by our worship. That's the ultimate purpose of this church and indeed of our individual lives. And each of us as church members need to know God's blessing, God's nurturing in our own lives. For without knowing that nurturing, we will have nothing to offer others. Now that doesn't mean that life is all sunshine, does it? But it does mean we need to know God's peace in the depth of our hearts, whatever we're facing. So there's the kind of the bread of the sandwich. The inside are points 2, 3, and 4. Focus on people under the age of 25, compassion, and sharing the good news of Jesus. And the Church Council has discerned that these five things are key to St. Barnabas impacting for good the community around us. God is above all the creator, and he renews creation when it has tired or fractured. As Psalm 104 shows, he's irrepressible. Now you might fairly say, how can we talk about all of this in the middle of a pandemic? Well, think of this. In the midst of World War II, the NHS was planned. As the bombs were dropping in the Blitz, plans for a whole new healthcare system were being put in place. And the Mission Action Plan is a way of looking ahead beyond the pandemic to the point when it will be over, and it will be over one day. And then, in that, as we do that plan, we are thereby refusing to let Corona frame reality. I want to share some words from Hebrews, which were shared at the church prayer meeting yesterday. I think they help us in these very strange days. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we possess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another onwards towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The immeasurably more plans are, as you will see, some big hopes and some big challenges. And as you read them, you may think, can we do it? And the short answer is no. But we serve a God who can produce treasure from us, frail as we are. Yes. Notice how the psalm, and here I'm going to close, notice how the psalm starts and ends in the same way. Verse 1, verse 35, it declares, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." The secularist sees life as self-existence and with nothing beyond it. But the psalm from first to last sees beyond the natural world to the God who is maker of all things. And the final word of the psalm is the Hebrew word hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. Psalm 104 says that we should not live trapped in fear or anxiety, for God has given the earth as a habitation to us, and humans are the voice box of creation. It is our role to declare the praises of God on behalf of the whole cosmos. What if we don't feel like praising God? What if not much is going right for us in life right now? Well, we might stop and think, have we eaten today? Have we drunk water today? That food, that water was not created by Tesco's or by Northumbrian Water. We city dwellers and non-farmers have to work at tracing back the source of our material blessings and remembering that ultimately they will come from God. Today, let us thank God for the harvest. Let us thank God too for the way he has renewed and will renew the earth in Jesus. And let us commit this church to his future, that we may be part of the immeasurably more that God wants to do for us in this place.